We're so fortunate to have a lot of our young people here in the church involved in all kinds of activities. And when it comes to music, we have several budding musicians. And you can see it's interesting to follow them as they progress. They're getting better and better as they progress in their musical pursuits. And so we're going to have a few of them come up. They're going to be playing some pieces that are appropriate for the Christian, for the Christmas season. And so we're going to have them come up and just play a few pieces for you before we get into the program that's planned. The first one is Michaela Marchese. Michaela. Okay. Here she comes. And this is great. And she's going to play Good King Wenceslas. All right? So she's probably the smallest one, and she's playing the one with the longest name. Good King Wenceslas. There we go. Her back there, and she's assisted with a lot of the children here at the church. We appreciate her work with the kids. Tabitha Lingar is going to come and play Mary Did You Know. And you know, it's good for these children. Let me just say, we've mentioned it before, they come and you're going to be probably the friendliest group they'll ever face right here, because they're family right here, church family. So it's great for our kids to have this opportunity and get this experience. And Tabitha has blessed us before with her playing, and she's going to play Mary Did You Know. Thank you. Jesus. Beautiful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, and we have Josiah Marchese coming now. And this is Michaela's older brother. And he is going to be playing O Come, Emmanuel, along with God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Great, thank you. And now we have Cody coming. He's blessed us before. He's going to play a number entitled Boughs of Holly. Thank you. Great. All right. Very good. So you can see we have these musicians that are growing up here in the church, and they're using their talents for the Lord, and that's what we like to see. And I congratulate each one of these young people for their efforts and all the work that they're putting in to help make this a special time for all of us. Okay? All right. Jen Schulteis heads up our children's ministries here and youth ministries, and she's done a great job with the children and with the teens. And they have a special program that they're going to present this morning. So I'm going to have Jen come and again, she's going to announce and present this skit that they've put together for Christmas, Christmas Hope.
Good morning. This morning, we have a Christmas skit for you guys. The children have been working very, very hard for the past, I'd say, 6 or 7 weeks. And we have children from 3 to 4 years old all the way up to about 13. So we have all different ages, and we'd like to present to you Christmas Hope.
I don't know how I'm going to do it this year. Christmas is just so expensive, and I don't want the kids to be disappointed. I wonder why we even bother anymore. All four of us. Lord, I miss him so much, and it's been so hard without him. Please help us this Christmas. Kids, pull together.
We're home.
Hi.
Mom, did you know Becky is getting a cell phone for Christmas? Why can't I have a cell phone?
Yeah, so you could talk all the time. Like anyone wants to hear you talk any more than you already do.
Be nice. Remember, Christmas is just around the corner, and I don't think you're quite ready for a cell phone. Now, will you two please help me finish decorating the tree?
Sure.
Fine.
Lord, what am I going to do? I don't know how I can afford the kind of presents that their friends are getting this year. Give me your wisdom. My favorite decoration.
What, the statues in the barn?
It's called a manger scene. The whole celebration of the homeless baby is kind of dull, though.
Let me tell you a story. Come sit and listen. We'll finish the tree later. There once was a young lady named Mary who was very excited to be getting married to a nice man named Joseph. Mary was visited by an angel who told her that she was to have the son of God, Jesus. Mary was very concerned as to what Joseph would say, but God had that all taken care of.
God, you've told me I will carry a child. I don't understand this, but I'm willing to do your will. But God, I don't know what to do. Joseph is going to be so upset.
God, I thought Mary was special. No, I got thought. God, I thought Mary was the father of you. I thought she was special. But she's pregnant now. Where was I mistaken?
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for what is conceived in her is not from man, but from the Holy Spirit. She will soon give birth to a son, and she will name him, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
So God sent an angel to Joseph to let him know that Mary was telling the truth?
Exactly. Joseph had gotten so upset that he was not going to take Mary to be his wife until the angel spoke to him. When he woke up, he knew that Mary was telling the truth about the angel, about her pregnancy and the angel, because the angel had spoken to him.
So they did not have a hospital to have the baby at, or even a house?
Joseph had a home and works as a carpenter, but they had to travel at a certain time to be counted in a registry of the town of Bethlehem. Because there were so many people traveling to Bethlehem at that time, there was no place for them to stay when they arrived. Because Mary was pregnant, they needed a place to live.
Mom, the story of Jesus' birth is a sweet story, but why do we still celebrate it all these years? I mean, it happened like a long time ago. Now Christmas is just about the presents and the stocking stuffers. At least that's what TV commercials say.
Kids, Christmas is special because the birth of Jesus shows us how much God loves us. Without Jesus, we can never do enough or be good enough to go to heaven when we die. Before Jesus was born, the Jewish people tried to earn God's forgiveness by following a strict set of rules and by sacrificing sheep and other animals. However, these were just symbols of what God would do later by sending his son to earth. God's people knew that someday a Messiah was coming because it was predicted in the scriptures thousands of years before his birth.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son who will be called Emmanuel. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment was brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed.
That's pretty cool. It happened just like the prophet described it.
Duh, if God predicted it, then of course it would come true.
Now, let me finish telling you about the birth, so you'll remember why it is so important not to let the true message of Christmas get lost in all the other craziness on TV and in the stores. God loves us and wants us to love him, because he has so many blessings he wants to share with us. Because of our sin, there is no way we can go to heaven or even have a life of peace on our own. God is holy, and sin cannot be in his presence. That's where the problem is for us. We are sinful, so God made a way for us. He sent his son to earth in the form of a human to take the punishment for our sins. Jesus lived like a man so we can learn from him and relate to him. As an adult, Jesus took the punishment for our sins by dying on the cross for us. God's people, as an adult, when he did this, he fulfilled the promise God made thousands of years earlier. See, that's why Christmas is special. The birth of Jesus shows us how much God loves us. Christmas is about God's love, hope, and the peace that comes from knowing Jesus.
Here's where you're
we all agree that the kids did a great job today and put a lot of hours of work in it. And, you know, I really especially appreciate the help of the older ones, the teens, and those help the little ones. You know, some of the pageants, they're always just the little kids or the older ones. But I'm proud of our kids here at the church. They pitched right in. The old ones helping the younger ones work together. And I think it's a wonderful tribute to the leaders that we have here in the various ministries. And there were some people that, you know, were kind of behind the scenes. Especially I wanted to thank Mark Doherty with the sound and also participation in this. And then we had Jenny Lingar. She was helping with the music. And Alan over here is helping with the set design. I'll tell you, it was great, wasn't it, the way they worked the different things and all the lighting and stuff. It's amazing, and the effect, and it was just wonderful. And, of course, Laura Langlois was helping with, she helps with just about everything with this, and with the kids and the costumes and things. And also Diane Doherty with costumes especially. She has a wonderful gift along that line. And you parents that got your kids here, I thank you. You know, they have their rehearsals. And you wonder sometime when this time of year comes around, are we going to get the kids there for all the rehearsals? And you parents who patiently came and waited, I know it wasn't always convenient, but you did your part. And that's the way it works. If you don't get the kids here, then they can't participate in a lot of these activities. So I want to thank you for doing that, for making the effort to get your children here so that they could be a part of this. And kids, you did a great job. It was a wonderful job. Wonderful. Yeah. All right. I'm going to let the children go, and they may want to take off their costumes, but I have a few words I just want to share with you this morning. It's in conjunction with this Christmas hope. We talk about Christmas and the whole subject of the meaning of Christmas, the significance of it. One of the key features is that Christmas gives hope to the world. We've talked about how people in uncertain times are nervous about what they see around them. They're wondering what tomorrow is going to bring. Just want to share a few thoughts on Christmas, hope for the world. You know, in Luke's Gospel, in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, and the latter part of that chapter, we have these words that are recorded. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bond slave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and his offspring forever." Mary's Magnificat, sometimes referred to as Mary's Magnificat. It's a great worship hymn of Mary that's recorded here in Luke's Gospel. And it's called the Magnificat because in the Latin Bible in verse 47 with the words Magnificat animum mea dominum, which means my soul magnifies the Lord. And so we refer to it as Mary's Magnificat. Gospel of Luke, though, if you go through it, you'll notice there's a lot of music in the Gospel of Luke. At least we have the words to the music. And what I thought was interesting, this is not the only place that we find something that would illustrate words that could be put to song. It's an expression of one's heart. You find what could be referred to as the hymn of Elizabeth in Luke's Gospel, verses 42 to 45. And then you find this hymn of Mary that we just read. And then there's the hymn of Zechariah in Luke, the first chapter again, verses 68 to 79. And have these words in the hymn of the angels written down. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men upon whom his favor rests. You find those in Luke's second chapter in verse 14. And then you find the hymn of Simeon in Luke 2, 29 to 32, when he prayed, when he saw the infant Jesus and realized that God's promise that he wouldn't die until he saw God's salvation had just been fulfilled. And so you see on several levels, you see these hymns that are recorded there in Luke's gospel. And you might ask, well, why is that there? And it's because of the great joy that comes when one realizes that there is hope. There is hope. It's recorded that Jesus came at a dark time in history when in the fullness of time, it uses that expression, that was the best time for him to come. There were a lot of people who were lost without hope, those who were oppressed in the world, and Jesus came right in the middle of those circumstances. The Christmas season, you see, is a time of great singing and joy. We sang the Christmas carols this morning. We sing because of the hope that is in our hearts. The divine announcement of good news, of great joy to all the people of the world. And as sinners, we need a divine Savior. And the message of Christmas is that God has given us a Savior in His Son who became man, the Lord Jesus Christ. This announcement first came to a poor peasant girl in a town that was not really known for much. It was rather insignificant. And yet, she is the one that was chosen. The angel Gabriel told Mary that by the power of the Holy Spirit, she would conceive and give birth to a son who would be heir to the throne of David, the Holy One, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, the King of Israel. And Mary and Joseph were to call him Jesus. His very name signifies salvation. He would save his people from their sins. Think of the quandary that Mary was in. Here she was, a young girl as portrayed in this skit this morning, betrothed to a man. She was a righteous young woman. She wanted to do what was right, and here she finds herself now pregnant. And not by human means. What a quandary it would be for her, wondering about this. And undoubtedly, it was necessary for God to send a messenger to speak to her heart because of what was going on in her thoughts concerning the days ahead. How will this be since I am a virgin? In other words, how can a woman conceive without the aid of a man? And Mary knew that the recent miracle of her relative Elizabeth, elderly relative Elizabeth, conceiving was not unique because such a miracle had happened previously when God enabled Sarah to conceive Isaac. But for a virgin to conceive and give birth to a son was unique. So Mary asked the angel, how will this be? And the response from Gabriel was this: the Holy Spirit will do it. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He said this in Luke 1:35. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then he added in verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. That's the key right there. Nothing is impossible with God. When all seems lost, when it seems like you come to the end and there's no way out, you see the truth of the Lord rings loud and clear in our hearts. But nothing is impossible with God, and there's always hope because of that great announcement that was made to Mary. And for all the faithful down through the years that have put their confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need not despair. We need not think that all is lost, because nothing is impossible with God. That's the unique answer, you see, to all of life's great questions. When you stop and think about it, you know, how did the universe come to be? Well, the answer is God, you see, because nothing is impossible with God. How are we going to be raised from the dead? One day we all die. How can that be? The answer again, you see, is God. How could old Zechariah and old Elizabeth, in their advanced age, Elizabeth being barren, have a son through natural human reproductive processes? How could that ever happen? Well, the answer again, it's God. How could a virgin then conceive and give birth to the Savior, Jesus Christ, who is eternal God? How could that ever be? It's something that would confound the human thought process. How could that be? Why, you cannot have that. And those who base their lives on the rationale and accumulation of knowledge, they can never accept that, you see. Why, how could that ever be? And the answer again comes back. It's because it was God who did it. And you see, nothing is impossible with God. You see, the answer is God. God is sovereign. He does what he pleases. He's not limited by man. And nothing is impossible for him. And hear me this morning, this is the hope for the world. This is the Christmas hope for the world. That we're talking about the eternal God, the sovereign one. And nothing is impossible with him. I don't know what your individual circumstances might be this morning, what you face this very week or the next. Some of you might be wondering what's going to happen, what will be. And I encourage you during this season of celebration, when we think about this precious gift that God sent to an unlikely place, to an unlikely young girl, to a husband that she was to have that was certainly, he was confused and wondering what was happening, and he had to take it all in. And the story could have been written differently had he not cooperated with what God was doing. Have you ever thought about that? Joseph is often overlooked, you know. All the questions he would have and wondering about it all. And the story could have been written a different way, and yet, again, through divine intervention, God dealt with him and gave him that divine assurance. And so that instead of despair, instead of being distraught, wondering what was happening in this betrothal that he had with this woman that he loved, all of a sudden his heart was calmed and he came to accept the word of the Lord as it came to him through God's messenger. And he felt it was all right. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Because somehow God assured him. And instead of despair over his future, he then had birthed in that moment bright hope. Bright hope. That's what it's all about, folks. That God would care so much for you and for me that he would meet us where we are. In the midst of the problems we face, in the midst of the turmoil of life, and all the calamities that seem to surround us, and even amidst those naysayers who are there, saying that we have it all wrong, trying to convince others that there really is no God, there really is no special news about Christmas, it's all just a myth as some would have it. In the midst of all of that, God still speaks to hearts and proves himself to be the God of the universe. And he births in our lives bright hope for our situation, wherever we are, that will lead us on into the future with a hymn, with a melody, with a song, with an expression of joy because of what he has done in us. And I trust this is your situation this Christmas time, during this season, that again you've been reminded that you are very special in God's sight, and that God loves you, and God cares about you, and God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows all that you're going through and all that you're facing. Christmas is not always a joyful occasion for some. In fact, statistics have told us that it's one of the worst times for many people because of their circumstances. Some who are lonely, think of the millions that are going to not even celebrate Christmas. They're going to be left alone. They'll have no relatives and friends surrounding them, bringing them Christmas cheer and joy. And they're thinking of days gone by, perhaps lost opportunities that they had. And they think that it's all over for them. Joy brings nothing but pain. The thoughts that go through their minds of previous days, perhaps, of joy and mirth that are now gone. Even for those who may feel that way, there's still hope. If they turn their thoughts and minds toward the Lord, God can in a moment bring the comfort of His Spirit into their lives. And we need to pray for such as these, that somehow God will break through and that the true message of Christmas will ring true in the lives of those who really don't have a lot to look forward to. And yet God can break through and reveal Himself to be the God of hope. Christmas hope. Hope. It's a wonderful thing. I trust that you've not lost your hope. I trust that your hope has been strengthened. Perhaps through the songs that were sung today. Through the little skit that was presented by the children. Through the word of the Lord that has been read. In some way, God has touched your heart and brought you hope. Would you bow your heads in prayer for a moment? And as we bow in these final moments of this morning, maybe God has been speaking to your heart. And maybe you're the one that He's encouraging, and you know that. You would say today, Lord, I hear what you're saying to me. I want to put my confidence in you. Regardless of what others say, I want to put my confidence in the word of the Lord that came time and time again prior to the birth of our Lord, bringing hope. I want that same hope and that joy in my life today. God, I hear what you're saying. I embrace Jesus. I want to follow Him as Lord and Savior, and in Him find the hope that I long for. Just slip your hand up and I'll know what you mean. More importantly, God sees your heart cry today. Anyone at all feel that way? Just slip your hand up and I'll include you in this prayer as we close this morning. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, you know us better than we know ourselves. And you know those who perhaps are here today. And maybe the busyness of the season, perhaps all the activity, maybe the stress of it has gotten to some, and now we turn to you. I pray your Holy Spirit would remind each of us of your faithfulness in the stress of life. May we find hope in the salvation of our Lord. I pray that we'll truly celebrate again the real meaning of why we even gather together at this time of year, why we take time to celebrate, why we take time to again rehearse the Christmas story, that, Lord, the true meaning of Christmas will ring true in our hearts. And there are others outside this church that have not heard or perhaps have not paid attention to the revelation that you have given through your word. And I pray for them. And I pray that your people will begin to spread that hope, the hope that reigns in their hearts. May they share it with others. May they lift somebody even today, O Lord, who needs a word of encouragement, who needs hope. May they turn to you, giver of life, the God with whom all things are possible. All things can be accomplished and can be done through the strength and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be reminded of this, and may this be a Christmas that each one of us will be able to look back to and say, it was there at that time in 2010, Christmas 2010, that again I reaffirmed my faith and God met me where I was and proved Himself again. and birthed in my heart the hope that even now sustains me. May that be true for all who are here this morning, I pray, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I trust you're going to experience a great sense of the presence of the Lord in your celebrations. I know people celebrate a little differently from household to household. Some will be celebrating on Christmas Eve. Some will be celebrating on Christmas morning. And some will be celebrating both Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. Kids like it that way, by the way. Well, however way you celebrate, I just trust that it becomes a very meaningful time for you, your family, your loved ones. Pray God's blessing upon you, God's safe keeping. And I know it'll be a time for you to perhaps make to refresh your acquaintance with sometimes even distant relatives that you joined with or friends. And God will use you. You become God's gift to your family who doesn't know the Lord. You know, wouldn't that be great if you become God's gift to your family this Christmas time? You know, last week we were blessed with a duet. Brother Roy Corp over here and my wife. I'm going to ask them to come. And by the way, he just came in the door. You know, we had something scheduled, and he had a meeting that was called, and he had to be at this morning. He said, "Pastor, I'm going to do my best." He said, "I'll be there, but I might be running a little late." And you know, I appreciate it. He's probably not even caught his breath yet, and that's important because he plays the flute. So we want him to catch his breath. But they blessed us last week, and I thought some of you, a lot of you, weren't here last week. And so I thought this would be kind of special. And so we're going to just give him a moment here, and he's going to come, and he and my wife are going to play this. And also this morning, we have something special for everybody. Let me see. Where's my secretary? We have something special for everybody. They're to be given out as we leave. Is that it? Okay. A little something and that we put together. I think we have enough for everybody. I know the children will look forward to it. It's some little Christmas treats, okay? So don't miss your Christmas tree. I know some of you have a sweet tooth. You don't. In fact, you ask if you didn't get yours. Some of you come up to me afterward and say, "Are there any more of those?" And so I know some of you. But we have something, I believe, for all of you. Some little Christmas treats, and the ushers will help us with that and passing them out at the door as you leave this morning. But again, Brother Roy is going to play. You may not be able to see him too much with this. With this staging here back there, but I appreciate, as I mentioned, the fact that he's dedicated his talents to the Lord. They did a great job last week. I hope you caught your breath. Yeah, okay. He thinks so. Okay, so they're gonna play this before we have a concluding prayer. Amen. That was great. That was great. They were supposed to meet early this morning in practice. That was without practice and coming in and doing that. That was really good. God bless you. Appreciate that. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Good to see each and every one of you here. Don't forget the announcement about tonight. A lot of activities going on with the individual ministries. And then don't miss this video. I'll tell you, it taught me a lot. I learned a lot from this Star of Bethlehem. And I know you'll appreciate it. It won't be a waste of your time. You're going to find it fascinating. And the work that and the study that was done and the meaning. It's all written there in the stars. The plan of salvation, it's just wonderful. And so you come tonight, you will be blessed, I guarantee it. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We've been talking about the various things surrounding your birth and especially about Mary and the fact that in a situation that could have been highly disruptive and discouraging, you brought hope. You brought hope to her. And in so doing, you brought hope to the world, and you've given us hope. And we thank you for this morning, oh God, that we live our lives in the light of your word, and there's bright hope within. Now I ask, oh God, that as your people leave this place, we need to shed the light of Jesus in our world and give others hope. Help us to do that. With your divine help, we can do that. This is a great time of the year when people are thinking about Christmas and about spiritual things for many. God, you can help us spread the good news. Protect your people, O Lord, as we leave this place. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day and a great Christmas, a Merry Christmas. And don't forget to get your little special treat back there when you leave. God bless you.
See you.